Yeah, I want to curse technology some days. We got to love that technology. If you're watching online, you're not going to see us as far as the view here, but you will see the screen up there. So maybe one of these days we'll have everything work all together. So, but at least we got sound this week as far as I know. So if you guys will turn over to Revelations, we're going to start there. We're still looking at that picture of the ugly baby, right? And as we read this set of letters to the church, we know that Jesus has called their baby ugly. And, you know, we've been really just diving deep into what that means and what does it mean to have an ugly baby. And, you know, Jessica's niece had a brand new baby, most of you guys know, and she's about 2 weeks old. Got to see her for the first time yesterday. With the girls having the cold, we kind of stayed away from her. We didn't want to make her sick. But, you know, as we were at that birthday party, something that I noticed is everybody just kind of just made their way to that baby, right? When you got a new baby in the house, everybody just naturally flows that way, right? Because, I mean, babies are just beautiful, aren't they? Listen, as we align our church to be a beautiful baby, right, I think the same will happen. People will just flow in. People will just come in. People will be attracted, not to us, but to Jesus. We get to read something really neat here. You know, the title of today's message is Something's Missing. And as you start to read this letter, you're going to notice that something is missing here, right? Have you ever watched a movie and, man, you watch it all the way through and at the end you just felt gypped, like something was missing? Me and the girls and Jessica, we went and watched a movie a couple weeks ago. I swear it was a never-ending movie. I mean, it lasted. It went on and on and on. And just about the time they gave us the plot, the movie was over, right? And then you never got to see it through anyway, so you don't know. Basically, they were trying to get to this new land, and man, you don't know whether they got to it or not. And I just felt gypped. I wanted the last 2 hours of my life back, right? So as we begin to read this letter, we're going to notice that something is missing, that something is a rebuke, right? Because all other churches, Jesus has said, hey, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this, this is great, but I have this against you. We don't see that here. And you know what? I think if we're honest, we feel a little gypped, don't we? Because, you know, sometimes we just like to air out all that dirty laundry, especially when it's not ours, right? Because it makes us feel a little bit better about ourselves, and so we feel gypped when it happens. And you know, this is definitely a contrast between what we saw last week and what we see this week, right? Because last week, we see Ephesus, and we see that they had some dirty laundry, and we see it was so bad that Jesus threatened to remove their lampstand if they didn't get things straight. That meant, church, that they were no longer going to be a church. That was what he meant by that. He said, if you don't get things straight, if you don't remember your first love, then I'm just going to close this church down, right? That's missing this week because all he has to say is good stuff. And so what's missing, really, what we could say is what's missing is the ugly baby, right? The ugly baby ain't there. I keep wanting to put a picture of an ugly baby up here, but I'm afraid that somebody will see it and it'll be their baby, and I don't want to call nobody's baby ugly. So we're just going to picture. You just picture whatever ugly baby you find in your head, okay? Their baby's pretty here. Their baby is the one that everybody's attracted to, the one that everybody wants to hold, the one that everybody just wants to spend all kinds of time in, right? Why? What is the difference in their baby and Ephesus' baby? I think it all comes down to the DNA of the church. It all comes down to the makeup of the church. And you know what? As we get to looking at the church, he says, I know where you are. I know the persecution you're facing. I know the suffering you're facing. And he says, man, you're shining right through, right? And I think one of the reasons they're shining so faithfully right now is the suffering and persecution, right? Because when you're facing that kind of persecution, man, you've got to be all in, don't you? Listen, if you and I thought that by coming to church this morning, we could possibly be put to death, for us to show up this morning would have meant we really love Jesus, right? This is this church. They were facing heavy persecution. They were facing death if they come to church. I mean, they were being persecuted by the government hard. But yet they showed up and they worship. And see, when you get to looking at DNA, sometimes we miss this letter. And I don't want you to miss this, because we can look at this letter and we can say the persecution made them strong. And because of persecution, it made them even stronger. And I think it did. But here's the thing, is the DNA was always there, church. Because as I was preparing for this, if you look at all the churches, the other six churches, they're not that far away, are they? They're really not. I mean, when you have to walk it like they did, they're a little further than we think, but really they're not that far away from each other. Yet this church is the one being persecuted, and the others weren't, right? Ephesus wasn't being persecuted, not heavily anyways, or we would have been told about it. Why? It was a difference in the DNA makeup, right? Because here's a church that the baby was pretty. Here's a church that everybody was going to. Here's a church that was changing lives, and the government said, we don't like it, right? Same thing happened over in China right now. The government is coming in. They said, hey, you can't have any church buildings. They said, that's fine. We'll go to church homes. Church homes begin to flourish. They said, you can't have church homes. They're having to go back underground. Why? Because their baby's pretty, right? And so let's just think about that for a little bit. Just let that draw in, because people are drawn to a pretty baby, aren't they? So let's look at the DNA makeup. If you'll turn to 2 Revelation chapter 2, not 2 Revelation, but Revelation chapter 2, and let's stand as we read this one. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested for 10 days. You will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything you do for us. Lord, we thank you that we have this church in front of us. This church is a DNA that we need to model, Lord. Lord, we need to look at ourselves and as individuals. We need to look ourselves as a church, and we need to ask ourselves, is our baby ugly? And if so, how can we get closer to this pretty baby? Lord, how can we be a church that people are just drawn to? How can we be a church that people want to be at? How can we be a church that is just shining your light so brightly that lives are changed and differences are made, Lord? Lord, just guide us and direct us. In your name we pray. Amen. Listen, so my opinion on this church is this is a church that had it all together, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, there were some issues in this church, but there wasn't nothing major. And this is a church that loved the Lord. This is a church that kept Jesus number one. This is a church that was ready to hear these words, right? And so this is a church that has some strong DNA. This is a church that really had things going for them. And I think people are just going to be drawn to that church. I think we want to be a church like that, don't we? We want to be a church that where, man, it's just like a pretty baby. Everybody is wanting to hold that baby. And I got some amens going on the screen. Mike told me today, if y'all don't say amen, he's just going to put it on the screen, right? So, all right. So let's say amen. All right. So here's what we're looking at. Here's what John says. I think that is the DNA makeup of the church. He says, first of all, he said they elevated Jesus, right? They put Jesus as number one. We're going to tear into that in a little bit. But he says they elevated Jesus. He said they did not fear and they remained faithful. Church, when we become a church that makes sure that Jesus is elevated, and I'm not saying we're not, but I'm saying we need to look at our baby, okay? If we're a church where Jesus is elevated, if we're a church that doesn't fear the world, if we're a church that stays steady and stays faithful and stays strong, then I think that we're going to see a church that just naturally attracts people. We're going to see lives change. We're going to see communities change, right? We're not going to know what to do with what all is happening around here. And so let's dig into that a little bit further. So the very first thing he says is they elevated Jesus. So what does that mean? That means that Jesus was number one. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Jesus was number one. Look at what Jesus reminds him. He says, I am the first and I am the last. I am the first and I am the last. Listen, we serve a Savior who has always been there. He was there in the beginning and he's there at the end. And he deserves to be in that number one spot. We cannot let anything else take the spot of Jesus. Jesus has to be number one. He has to be the first and the last. One of my favorite descriptions there, he says, is he said he is the one who died and now is alive, right? You know, if we start looking at the scripture, we see a couple instances where somebody died and is now alive, right? Lazarus is a perfect example. We see Lazarus, he was dead and he was alive again, right? But here's the thing. What happened? He was brought to life, right? Jesus brought him back to life, right? We see another example of that where he was brought to life, right? Listen, who brought Jesus to life? Jesus did, okay? Jesus was dead and he is alive. It is because of his power. He didn't need nobody else to bring him to life. Jesus is Jesus. He is number one. He is the one that died for our sins. He is the one that is risen for our sins. See, Jesus is the King of Kings. He didn't need somebody else to step in and do that. He did that because he is God. We have to put Jesus number one, church. If Jesus isn't number one, it doesn't matter what else we do, our baby's ugly, okay? Our baby is ugly no matter what else we do. Why? Because what determines the DNA? What determines the DNA of the baby, right? The parents do, right? The parents determine the DNA of the baby. And so if we want a DNA that makes Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant, we'll get there again. But if we want a DNA like that, then Jesus has to be the head of the church because he is the father of the church. If we put anything else above Jesus, our baby will be ugly. And I don't care how much community work we do. I don't care how much busy work we do. I don't care how much we get up and we play church. If Jesus isn't the head of the church, our baby's ugly. And that is just as simple as I know how to put it, church. The next thing it says is not only did they elevate Jesus, but they didn't fear this world. Listen, Jesus needed them to remain faithful and to keep preaching the gospel because the government didn't want them to. And you know what? I believe that if we change in the next 3 years, if we change as much as we did the last 3 years, I think this thing right here is going to be illegal to read. I'm just telling you what I think. And it may not come to true, right? But you think about the last 3 years and how everything's elevated. If we take that pace the next 3 years, we won't be able to own one of these without having to be persecuted about it. Listen, because what do we see? We see them canceling Dr. Seuss, right? We see them canceling all other kinds of books. They're going after books that contain slavery. Have you ever read this book? Slavery's all over the Old Testament, right? Have you read some of the controversial stuff that they're trying to cancel? Guess what? It's found right here. If you think for a minute they're after Dr. Seuss, you're crazy. They're after this right here. Now listen, they themselves may not know that they're after that, but the devil does, and he's after this. He wants this to be gone. We can't fear it, right? Somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, what are you going to do when they pass the Equality Act and they make it where you can't preach everything in here? I said, well, what are you going to do? Because you better prepare my bail money, right? Because I'm going to jail. So that's what I would say, church, are you going to remain faithful? Because as a preacher, I plan on sitting up here and proclaiming the gospel truth, no matter who says we can or can't, right? And you know what? If they close down the church, then we'll go to the Shuff Barn. They got plenty of them. We'll go preach at the Shuff Barn, right? Or the Shuff Turn Row. We'll find somewhere to go, right? Johnny said we can go to her house. We might be crowded. We'll find somewhere to go. But if they try to close it down, we got to remain faithful to preach the gospel. Why? Because we have elevated Jesus and we know who our King is. And they can shut us down, but it doesn't matter, right? Do not fear. In other words, 2 Timothy 1:7 says he didn't give us a spirit of fear, did he? He wants us to boldly proclaim the gospel. He wants to go out and tell everybody who it is. And he doesn't want us to blend in, church. And you know what? Here is this church that, you know, we talked about the fact that they were persecuted. Yet, down the road, there was another church that wasn't. Why? Because this church, Smyrna, they refused to blend in. They refused to get the status quo. They refused. You know what? When the government come in and said, you can't preach the gospel, they said, watch it. We will. When the government come in and said, you can't do this, they said, watch us. We still will. It's like Daniel. You know, Daniel didn't do nothing like he hadn't already done. When they told Daniel he can't go pray, he said, watch it. And he went and prayed. See, when we read the story and we see that he went up and he was in his window and everybody seen him pray. And you know what? If you miss it, you might be thinking Daniel sold off. But this is where Daniel prayed every day. Daniel didn't say, I'm going to go do something that just makes him mad. He said, no, I'm going to continue doing what my Lord's called me to do. And if that means that I die, it means that I die. But I'm not going to stop praying to my Lord. You know what? The other churches that we see here, it may be that they blended in and the government come in and said, you can't do this. And they said, okay, then we'll just go over here and do this then. You know what? Let's just be as real as we can. As churches across America, we've blended in. That's why we got the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Man, didn't that get destroyed this last year? Because I don't see how anybody can stand up and preach the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel after we had COVID wiped out a lot of this country. How can you stand up there and say, if you love the Lord and you're right with the Lord, then you're not going to get sick, when they've seen people that love the Lord get sick? We have all kinds of false gospels creeping to the church. Why? Because we're blending in, church. The gospel message has not changed. I talked to a gentleman today, or the other day, that told me hell isn't real. And I said, have you read your Bible? Because hell's all over my Bible. That's another false gospel that's out there. Hell isn't real. Why? Because people don't want to hear that what they're doing is wrong. People don't want to hear that they're going to hell. So rather than preach hell, we just say, okay, well, you know, maybe hell's just a place meant to scare you. No, hell's real. And we can't blend in. We have to preach the gospel message no matter what stands in the way. Because we've elevated Jesus. Jesus is King. We don't have to be afraid of him because he's number one. We can't blend in. And you know what? Those are just some radical things. If we're being real true to ourselves as Christians, we have blended in. This is a church that didn't blend in. You know, I think this is a church that they may not even have had a TV in their house if they lived today, right? Because they refused to wash the filth. This is a church that wasn't going to compromise their faith no matter what it was. And I know I'm meddling. And I'm meddling in my house too, okay? But you see what I say? I mean, we've blended in. Listen, if we want to be a church that has a pretty baby, we can't blend in, right? We have to stand out. We have to be the church that God's called us to be. The next thing he says is they remained faithful. And he urges them to keep remaining faithful to the end. See, when Jesus said this, I don't think he had any doubt in his mind that this is a church that when they got to heaven, he was going to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. This was just kind of his encouraging call that says, hey, I know what you're going through. I know where you've been. I know what's going to happen. And he said, just keep on doing what you're doing, and I'm going to see you at the end. And when I see you, man, the things I have in store for you. He has eternity for us, church, in heaven with him. He says, remain faithful. Part of remaining faithful means remaining faithful to your family name, right? Listen, you remember as a kid, I mean, you know what? There was a lot of things that kids could do, but they better not make fun of my family name, right? There's pride in that. You don't make, and you don't care. I mean, listen, I have some bad hombres, as they say, on the other side of the family, but you know what? Don't talk about my family name. That is something that's special, right? And you know what? We go to talking and we say we have to live up to our family name, right? And you see that even in good or bad, right? We see people that go down the bad path and they're just living up to their family name, right? Or we see people that are shining, they're living up to their family name. You and I, we have a family name. We are the church of God. And we have to live up to that family name and remain faithful and do nothing that blemishes that, right? Nothing. Because we don't want to blemish our family name. And that can go, again, that can go bad or good, right? If your family is known as a bunch of, they go out and just raise Cain and they cause all kinds of troubles, you say, well, I'm just living up my family name. That's why I'm doing it, right? Listen, we got to live up to our family name. And our family name is in Jesus. We got to live up to our family name. But that's not our usual response, is it? Instead, what we do is we come and we blend in. You see how all this is working together, right? We blend in. That's not our usual response. We don't, you know what? I know I've used the TV analogy again, but you know what? Would you watch what you've been watching with Jesus sitting beside you on the couch? Because he is. But if he was physically sitting there with you, would you watch it, right? Would you talk the way you were talking if Jesus walked in the door, right? Listen, I know we wouldn't, because as a pastor, I can walk in a building sometimes and it goes quiet and either they were talking about me or they were talking about something they shouldn't have been talking about, right? And they wouldn't talk about me because I'm good, so not really. But you get the point, right? If Jesus was walking side by side, there would be a lot of things that we wouldn't do, right? We're compromising. And so our usual response isn't to be to praise Jesus' name. Why? Because, man, we're not putting Jesus where he belongs, right? I talked to somebody one time that said, I can't believe you would put any kind of emblem on your car that makes people know that you serve Jesus. I said, why wouldn't you? Well, what if you're speeding? Well, then don't speed, I guess. You know what? Well, if I put it on there, they're going to point me out because they're going to say you're one of those Jesus people. You know what? You're right, I am. I'm living up to my family name. That's my dad. But our usual response is not, why? Because we blend in. Why is our usual response not to turn to Jesus? Why is our usual response not to live up to family name? Why? Because we haven't elevated Jesus to where he belongs. That as simple as we can put it, church. What does it look like to remain faithful? It's easy to remain faithful when things are good, right? It's easy to remain faithful when things are good. When life is good, when life is going great, it is easy to remain faithful. When it starts hitting us, that's when it gets harder, right? When we have to stand up for what we believe, that's when it gets harder. And I'm going to tell you right now, church, I firmly believe you and I are going to have to make a stance, and I think it's in the near future. And we're going to have to say, we believe in Jesus, and we don't care what you say. We don't care the law that you made. We don't care the rule that you made. You know what? If we have to choose between our Jesus and you, we're going to choose our Jesus all day long. We're going to choose Jesus. And you know what? I think when we do this, church, we're going to see a family that grows strong right here. We're going to see a family that's united, right? Right. We're not going to care that one person wants a carpet pink, one wants it blue, right? We're not going to care about this or that little bitty stuff. Why? Because we're unified on Jesus. We're elevating Jesus, and it's all about Jesus, right? And we could come in and say, yeah, who cares? Put the carpet in here pink. We're going to go serve Jesus, right? If you bring up a pink carpet in the next business meeting, I didn't tell you to do that, okay? And we're probably not going to do it, but you get the point, right? Listen, we need to be unified where it's all about Jesus. If every single one of us will put Jesus at the forefront of our mind, if we're all about serving Jesus, if Jesus is elevated, everything else will work out. Why? Because there'll be unity. Why? Because we're going towards Jesus. We have our eyes locked on Jesus. When it's all about Jesus, it just works together, doesn't it? You ever seen ministries that just flourish because they're locked in on Jesus? We've seen it here, right? It says that when we're locked on Jesus, we're going to see the victor's crown, right? In other words, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And man, we're going to get to see all kinds of things when we get to heaven. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's going to be glorious. Anything that has streets of gold is going to be glorious, right? I think we're going to see genuine growth. Not fabricated, right? We see all kinds of mega churches that are starting to break down. Why? Because, and I'm not picking, like, there's some good mega churches out there. I'm not picking, but why? Because it wasn't genuine growth, right? We need genuine growth, church. We need growth that is focused on Jesus. If we artificially grow this church, guess what? The first time COVID hits, what'll happen? It'll shake it. The first time something else bad happens, it'll shake it, right? Because it's not genuine. But when we build it on Jesus, it's genuine. And that's what we got to do. I think that when we do this, others will come to know Jesus. Not because of us, but because of who he is. And I think, when we line up and we elevate Jesus, when we put Jesus where he is, when we don't fear the world and what they say, when we work together in unity, when we remain faithful, others will come to know Jesus because we will be shining his love and we'll be shining his light so brightly that they'll want to come hold our baby, right? Listen, I mean, you think about that again as a baby. When you walk into a room where a brand new baby's in, where do your eyes go? If your eyes don't go to the baby, me and you need to talk, right? Your eyes just, I mean, they just go to, I watch everybody walk in that house, right? And they were kind of jealous of me because, I'll admit, I had the baby. I wasn't going to let her go if I didn't have to, right? And so they just all locked on me, and they were just looking, and they just wanted the baby from me, right? Jessica finally made me give the baby up. But what, all eyes, everybody that walked in the house immediately went to the baby. I kind of felt sorry for the birthday girl, right? Because they all were focused on that baby. Listen, when we elevate Jesus, when we put him where he belongs, when we're faithful, everybody's eyes won't lock on the church. They'll lock on our baby. They'll lock onto Jesus. And they'll be focused on Jesus, right? That's when we'll see lives change, church. When it's all about Jesus. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to open up the altar. And you got plenty of time. Hey, when we open up the altar, we got plenty of time. I know they're doing a fish fry, right? But I purposely went a little short so you have plenty of time to come and pray and do whatever you need to before you go get fish, right? So if God is tugging on your heart, I want you to just respond to him this morning. I want you to make sure to ask yourself, when I look at this baby, when I look at this church, do I see a pretty baby or what do we need to change, right? What do I need to change as an individual so I have a pretty baby, right? Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything that you do. Father, we know that we're guilty of dishonoring the family name at times. Lord, and we thank you that you're a faithful God and you love us, Lord, and that once we accept you as our Lord and Savior, Lord, you don't kick us out of the family. We're sealed. But Lord, we want to be Christians that bring honor and glory to the family name. We're a royal priesthood, as you said, a chosen generation. Lord, it is through your church that you choose to spread the gospel message. Lord, you need us to be faithful. Lord, you desire for us to be faithful. Lord, so that others in this community, others that we come in contact with, will come to know you because of how brightly we shine your love and light. Father, I know that when we concentrate on elevating Jesus, when Jesus is number one, when it's all right here in the heart, when Jesus is filled up in our heart, Lord, everything else will work out. Lord, everything that we need to do to grow our RAs program, everything we need to grow to grow the GAs, everything we need to do this and this and this, Lord, it'll all work out because we're all focused on you and you'll guide us and direct us in the way that you want us to go and you'll naturally bring that stuff together. But Lord, if we're not focused on you 100%, 110%, Lord, no matter what we do or the effort we put in, it's not going to work out. Because we're trying to do it on our own strength. Lord, help us elevate you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Number 294, would you stand, please?
Christ's name that we pray, amen.